Thanks to our new partner, Tifosi Optics, maker of my favorite sunglasses. The folks at Tifosi design sunglasses that allow you to get out and live your passion, which is why I wear Tifosi sunglasses running, playing pickleball, and strolling around town. Get 20% off with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/AMR today to get 10% off your first month.
Welcome to Many Happy Miles, a podcast that celebrates all types of forward movement. Whether it's a swim in the pool or a cross-country ski in the snow, we're here to say yay to all of it. I'm Dimity McDowell, co-founder of Another Mother Runner.
And I'm Sarah Wessner Flynn. And Dimity, today I'm saying yay to the National Indoor Track Meet, which I'm leaving for this afternoon. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, where is it?
It's in Boston.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And tell us what the National Indoor Track Meet is.
So it's actually the New Balance Indoor National Track Meet. There are actually three national championships in the high school level: New Balance, Adidas, and Nike. Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep up with. New Balance, in my opinion, is the most competitive. Nike is a close second. They're competing this weekend in New York. So kind of complicates things a little bit when it comes down to like who is the fastest kid in the country, but we're focusing on our competition and what we're facing this week. And I'm so excited. We're going to have a lot of really fun races. I'm going to be there today. We're recording on a Wednesday. I'm not getting back till Sunday night. So it's quite an ordeal.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. And how many athletes are you taking there?
I believe we have 29 or 30, and we're all flying on a plane together. So this is new territory for me. I've never flown with a team except in college, and I wasn't the one who was kind of, you know, in charge of everything. So, but we have great coaches, great team manager, and the kids are awesome. So I'm not worried about the travel part at all, but it's just like, wow, okay, we're all getting on a plane together this evening.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Do you have a dress requirement for the plane? Mm-hmm.
Yep. They have to wear a certain outfit. I don't really need to abide by that, but I'll have all my team gear, and packing is quite easy because it's just a bunch of t-shirts with our school name on it and various pairs of pants. So I should look cute. It's nationals, but I'm like, who am I kidding? It's, you know, you still need to coach. You still need to be comfortable. It's an all day thing. So yeah. So, I got a couple of new, outfit, like pants, like cute things that I don't may or may not bring. I don't know. I haven't packed yet. So that's next. After we finish recording, I'll be going right to my room to pack.
Oh my gosh. We'll have so much fun. We can't wait to hear about it in about 2 weeks. Yeah. It'll be old news at that point.
Yeah.
But there is a certain energy around track meets, especially indoor track meets, right? Because of talk about that a little bit. Does it get exhausting or is it always energizing?
It is. Like sometimes I'm like, it's like when they say you're in a Vegas casino, you don't know if it's night or day. Some of these tracks and we're actually going to two tracks this weekend because it's also the NCAA National Championship. So they're occupying the track at New Balance, which is a newer track, and that has windows. But I believe the Reggie Lewis Center, which is where we'll be on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, doesn't have windows. That's actually where I competed when I was in high school. So I think it's going to be like, okay, what time is it? What are we, morning, night? You know, everything kind of blends together. And of course, we're like very, very cued into the time because my job as a coach, most of my job is watching the time and making sure that the meet is running so that I can tell the kids when to warm up. And they're always asking me like, how far behind are we? Because inevitably track meets get behind schedule. And so I just have to be like, okay, we're 5 minutes behind or 10 minutes behind so that we know when to warm up and when to check in and all that. But the racing itself is super, super fun. It's a closed environment. So everything's loud and they make a lot of, you know, they make a big deal with these races. They bring like little shooting pyrotechnics onto the track for the finals. And they put everything on a big screen and it's all televised and at least, you know, on the online TV. So they put the camera in the kids' faces right before the race, just like you would at the Olympics. Yeah. So I love it. I mean, I can't say how pumped I am for these kids. They're totally ready. And this is what we've been training for. And the best thing is, you know, we hopefully will come home with some national titles, which I've never experienced. So selfishly, I'm excited because that's something that will be new for me. I went last year with the team and we finished pretty far down, like 40th or something. So to be up on the podium, see those athletes get, you know, all the credit and what they deserve, I think is going to be thrilling for me as a coach.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you have some luck. And yes. Because actually, that was a very, tricky segue. Mm-hmm. St. Patrick's Day is coming up. So in honor of that, we are going to talk a little bit about getting lucky on the run in a G-rated sense, of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. We've all had those random lucky moments, whether it's finding change on the run, like Sarah Bowen Shea always does, or perhaps something more momentous. Sarah, you have a couple, like when I was like, well, have you ever been lucky on the run? And you like rolled out with like three or four stories. So kind of give us a couple instances when you were lucky during a race or a run.
Yeah. So my favorite story of all time is the Nations Triathlon. I think it was like 2016. And I had been training pretty hard for that. And as it does sometimes happen in a triathlon, I got a flat tire on the bike. It was over the 14th Street Bridge in DC and there was a pothole. I hit it. And in a sprint triathlon, you don't really have that much time because it's such a short race. And so I actually didn't even pack a spare tube or anything because I was like, well, you know, if you get a flat, you're done. And yeah. I never got a flat before. So that was my first time getting a flat. I got a flat. I was like so mad. And I just like, well, that's it. I really unclipped, stepped off my bike. I was like, well, I got to figure a way to hoof back to the finish line. And I see the shadow kind of coming across me as all the cyclists are streaming by me. And there's this kid, he's probably 17. I want to say he was wearing a Boy Scout outfit. I don't think he was, but he told me he was a Boy Scout. And so in my head, I'm like, he's like this lumbering, large figure ahead of me. And he's like, hi, ma'am, I'm here volunteering on the course. And I see you have a flat tire. Would you like me to fix it for you? And I said, well, yeah, but you know, you have other things to do. Like, I think I'm done. My race is done. He goes, no, let's get this done. And he fixed it so fast. And for anybody who, you know, knows, like fixing a flat tire sometimes can be challenging.
Oh, it takes me at least 10 minutes. I can't fix it fast. Yeah.
It was maybe 2 or 3 minutes. He was so fast, less than that. And then he was like, okay, you're ready. Get on your way. And I was like, are you serious? And then I looked and I said, there's so many people racing. I'm going to get back into this race. I race back to the transition. I see my family there and I say, I got a flat. You know, I'm not racing anymore, but I'm just going to finish the race. In my head, you know, I wasn't racing for the win. And I think that just motivated me. And because I was like kind of out of my racing mode, I just ran the fastest I've ever ran. I ran like my fastest 5K. And
oh, wow.
I finished thinking, you know, whatever, I did well, but that bike really cost me. And then it was delayed results. And it was a few years ago, so there wasn't any results online. And then they called my name as first overall. And I was like, no, this has to be a mistake. But as it turns out, when I looked at the splits, I think I ran like 3 minutes faster than everybody else. So that time that I was on the road where that lucky guardian angel saved me, I ended up winning. So I was like, that is such good luck. I was at the right place at the right time. This gentleman, whoever he is, my guardian angel was right there. And I just felt like it was the best possible like outcome that ever has happened to me in a race. And so I consider that 100%. He's wherever he is. I wrote an article about it and I was hoping he would find it, but I never heard back from him. I never got his name.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great story.
That was my favorite story. And then one really other quick one, a local 5K or maybe it was a 10K. I can't remember. My friend Julie is just one of those people who just finds things. Like she should be a detective. Like she's found my child's lost tooth in the lawn, which I don't even know how you would do that, but she found a tooth that had fallen out while they were playing. And I left thinking, well, they're not going to find that tooth. And she calls me, she's like, oh, I found the tooth. And I was like, how? But during this one race, my timing chip was a little pod that they put, you clip onto your shoelaces. And I didn't tie it tight enough and it fell off. And I didn't notice, well, I may have noticed, but whatever. I was like, well, you know, I'm finishing the race. And it was an out and back, and I'm running towards the finish. And she's like, coming towards me on her part. She goes, Sarah, I have your timing chip. And I was like, what? She found my timing chip on the road and knew it was mine somehow because it had my number on it. And she remembered like my number was 257. And she gave me the timing chip and I finished and I was able to get a time for that race. And I was like, that is so lucky. Like she found my timing chip and knew that it was mine and gave it to me. And so we do have a picture. And so it pops up every year of her handing me the timing chip. And I don't know. It was just crazy. Good coincidences and luck for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Did you win that race too?
I don't even remember. I do think I raced pretty hard, so I wanted the time to be official. And so that was a good thing because otherwise, you know, without a timing chip, you're not going to get an official time.
Sure.
But how about you? Have you ever had luck on the run or on the roads or anything like that?
All my luck is due to very, very hard work, Sarah. I'm just kidding. No, nothing that I can think of like that. I mean, and it's hard. It's harder to find those stories than you think, but we have a great story to share with you today, who is one very lucky woman indeed.
Yes. So we have Rose DiGregorio, who's a mother runner and teacher from Pittsburgh, who in 2022 had what she called a stroke of luck. That's a play on words there. She's an avid runner who has completed two marathons and several half marathons. She has this fascinating personal story to tell, and we're looking forward to hearing more about it. So welcome, Rose.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm a little nervous about this today. I've never been on a podcast before.
Well, you're doing well so far. Just keep telling your stories.
Oh, I'm happy to share my story because it is quite a stroke of luck.
It is quite a stroke of luck. And this is just like running, just like put one foot in front of the other and you're going to get to the finish line. So so before we get to your story, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How many kids do you have? I think you're a teacher. So what do you teach?
Yes.
And how did you start running?
I started running when I was in high school, which was about 45 years ago. My brother was a runner and just started running with him. But I really didn't become more of a serious runner until I moved to Pittsburgh, because then I started coaching cross country at St. Elizabeth, where my kids went. And in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, cross country is a sport at the elementary level. So one year we had a team of 99 runners starting in second grade. And the way I got started was coaching cross country here. Somebody asked me, hey, we need a coach. Could you do it? And I was like, listen, I have never coached cross country. I don't know anything about that. But, you know, it was for an elementary school. So how hard could it be? So I figured it out. And after 9 years, once my kids were through, then I stopped doing it. But had so much fun, met so many great people. And I want to say my kids enjoyed it. I have three children. My oldest at the time was in seventh grade, and we went to our first cross country practice, and he didn't even have like running shoes. He had basketball shoes because my husband's a basketball coach. So he had these high tops on, and he went out running with the big kids because it was JV and varsity. He went out running with the big kids. He came back with the big kids. I said to him, what, did you sprint when you were in the woods? He's like, no, mom, I kept up with the big kids. So running became his thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's Paul, who is now 31. Then I have John, who's 28. He's a physical therapist. He's the one who saved my life, as you'll hear in my story. And then we have Julia, who's 26. I can't say she enjoyed running because every practice, mom, what are we doing? She was not into running. She hated running.
But I got one of those too.
Yes, totally forced her. From second grade on to eighth grade, she hated it. But you know what? She was a trooper and she was a pretty decent runner. So she did what she needed to do. But when she was done in eighth grade, I was like, do you want to run in high school? No. She goes, mom, it's the sport of getting up early and running. Two things I hate doing. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to want to run in high school. Okay. So that was the end of running for her.
But you
know, all my kids ran.
And you kept it up, Rose. And so you ran what?
I did. So in 2009, when the marathon returned to Pittsburgh, my friend Carol Good, who helped me coach cross country, she had run the marathon many times. So she said, let's run the marathon. So we trained together with our other friend. I call him Captain Jim, Jim Kaufman. He was in the Marines, so we always called him Captain Jim. So we did many training runs together in the cold, in the snow. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the day of the marathon, I show up and Carol goes, oh, aren't you wearing compression shorts? I'm like, compression shorts? We didn't talk about that. I was wearing a practice outfit that I had run a long run in, and I didn't have any trouble with it. But on the day of the marathon, at about 6 miles, my thighs started to chafe, which happens when you do long runs. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point that by the time I got to mile 22, I had blood running down my legs. Oh, so when people would cheer me on when I got back into home, where they were like, you go, girl. And then they'd look at my legs. Oh, and because I was like wiping them and then wiping it on my shirt. Oh, I looked like a zombie. It was terrible.
Oh, gosh.
It was not a good race for me. I ended up having second degree burns on my thighs. Oh, it was terrible.
You got to get some Body Glide next time, Rose.
Oh, well, you know what? I was a rookie. I was a total rookie. So then I needed to get that monkey off my back. So in 2016, I said, I'm running that marathon again, and I'm going to, like, this time I'm going to be ready. I had compression shorts. I was ready.
Mm-hmm. Good. So let's speed it up to March 2022. You weren't running the Pittsburgh Marathon then, but you were volunteering.
Yeah, so I was volunteering because once I did two marathons, I was like, I am never running. The training is just so intense. And I was like, I really don't want to do that again. Plus, I was working full time, and it just, those Sunday runs, long runs just took it out of me. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting any younger. So I was volunteering. And when I signed up to volunteer at the Pittsburgh Marathon, I thought, I can give out bananas. The next thing you know, they call me and they're like, we need you to come in for training. I'm like, training? They hand out bananas? Oh no, you're going to be a tracker. What's that mean? So my job was inside Point Park University in the Center for Media Innovation, which is right at the finish line. And I would track the elite half men runners. So they start out at like 5-7 in the morning. So I had to be there at like 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody out on the truck. His name is Bob. I would love to meet Bob someday. And we were on a walkie-talkie. So at every mile, he would call into me and I would type on a spreadsheet the split times and who was in the lead. So, and then that would get projected up onto a big TV and the media was there and they would tweet out. That's how you know who's in the lead. Mm-hmm. So it was really like interesting because like I was like experiencing the race from afar. Like Bob would say, all right, Rose, we're at mile one and we have a split time of 4:33 and bib number 2540 is in the lead. And on his right shoulder is 2530. So I would type all that in. That's how you would know in the media.
Wow.
We'll be right back with more lucky stories after this break.
Portland gets a bad rap about being rainy and cloudy, but au contraire, my friends, I get plenty of wear out of my Tifosi Optics sunglasses, running, playing pickleball, hiking, driving, and dog walking. Tifosi sunglasses are so durable, affordable, and high quality. Tifosi's shatterproof polycarbonate lenses are scratch resistant and they reduce glare. What I love best about Tifosi glasses is their premium polarization. They provide stunning clarity. At this time of year, I feel they allow me to see and almost count every leafy bud on the trees. I also really appreciate that the Tifosi glasses with fun colored lenses, like Smoke Rose Mirror and Smoke Bright Blue, let me see the world the way it actually looks without distorting it like some similarly priced shades do. As I mentioned, Tifosi glasses are super high quality. Tifosi Glide technology allows the frame to slide on comfortably and provide an anti-bounce fit. Hydrophilic rubber nose pads provide more grip the more you sweat, so the glasses stay secure during even your most intense activities. Last weekend on my 8-mile run, my Tifosi Swanks, one of Tifosi's most popular models, stayed in place perfectly and they were comfortable the entire way. See for yourself. Get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses with code AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. Again, get 20% off Tifosi sunglasses using code AMR20 at TIFOSIOptics.com. That's AMR20 at TifosiOptics.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. For 10% off your first month, go to BetterHelp.com/AMR. Last weekend, most of us lost an hour when we shifted the clocks. Yes, the extra daylight after dinner is delightful, yet a lot of us spend our days wishing we had more time. Let's get philosophical for a sec. Time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Not long ago, I worked with a therapist to understand my values better. and how to chart a course based on those values. I'll confess, one outcome of those helpful sessions is I started a women's pickleball league, which cuts into my morning workday once a week. My happiness skyrocketed, and my overall professional productivity didn't suffer. If you're thinking of starting or resuming therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn how to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/AMR today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AMR. Again, betterhelp.com/AMR to get 10% off your first month.
So when did you start to feel a little bit off after when you, like what mile were they at when you started?
Well, I finished my job because they finished within an hour. They're so fast. And I was done, and it was raining that year. So I said to the girl that was in charge of the whole area, Kelsey, I said, I'm going to walk out to the finish line, because you could hear the guy was announcing, and bib number this coming in. It's really exciting. So I wanted to see that. So I walked outside and I noticed my leg was like, I was limping. I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I limping? So I kept going, and then I came back in and I felt okay. I didn't notice. I didn't have any slurred speech. I didn't have a headache. So I took the tea home, and on the tea, I kept dropping my phone, and my sister called me, and I answered the phone and I said, Marie, I can't talk right now. I'm just so tired, because I had been up really early to get there. Yeah. Plus, the day before, I had done the kids marathon with my kids from school. So we had to be there early. I just figured, I was up early. So I didn't think I was having a stroke, but I kept dropping everything on the tee. I dropped my phone. I kept dropping my ticket. And then I must have fallen asleep, because when I got to Washington Junction, the conductor said, ma'am. And he startled me, woke me up. So my husband picked me up at the tee, and I said to him, something's not right with me. I don't know what it is. So I went home and took a nap.
Hmm. Yeah. And then, so you went home and you took a nap. And then while you were napping, your son, John, who you mentioned, and is a physical therapist, so he stopped by. And tell us why that was so significant, this unexpected visit.
He was supposed to be at a soccer game, but the other team didn't have enough players. So his game got canceled. So I woke up from my nap and I heard people talking downstairs, and I thought we had company. So I got up and I walked down the steps. It's a miracle I didn't fall down the steps. And I had my phone and I started to try to text, and John saw I was struggling. He's like, Mom, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. Something's wrong with me today. So he did like a neuro exam. And when he said smile, I didn't have a big droop like most people think. I had like a pull above my lip. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, you're having a stroke. I was like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just going to go lay down. He goes, Mom, you're not going to go lay down. You're having a stroke. Dad, we got to get Mom to the hospital. So they rushed me to the hospital.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So he noticed your smile. Was there anything else? What was it? What did you do during the neurological exam? Do you remember?
Well, I mean, like follow my finger, and then I had to put my arms up, and he saw I had left side weakness, and I'm left-handed. Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
so he knew. Yeah, he knew. Okay. So they rushed me to the hospital. We didn't call the ambulance. And when I got to the hospital, my blood pressure was 253/150. Oh my goodness.
Holy cow.
Holy cow is right. So they life flighted me to Forbes Hospital, because that's a stroke center, because they weren't sure if I needed surgery. Thankfully, I did not need surgery. But I can't say enough about Jefferson Hospital, man. They saw right away I was in bad shape. But I was awake the whole time talking.
So you remember this.
I remember everything. Mm-hmm. I remember the doctor. I remember the helicopter ride, how loud and bumpy it was. I remember everything.
And you had no, just to be clear, I mean, if your son, John, wouldn't have done the test, like you would not have thought that you were having a stroke. Like you would have just gone back and rested again.
I was way too healthy to have a stroke. I do have high blood pressure, and I was out of my medicine, and I'd been trying to order it online and it was not going through. So my fault, I should have called my doctor. I thought it would go through to my doctor and like it would automatically get refilled.
So how long had you been off of that for? Do you know?
About a week.
Wow. Okay.
A week. Yeah. But you know what? I haven't missed my medicine since. Never again. You know what? And when I hear people not taking their medicine, I'm like, well, listen, I am an example. Do not skip your blood pressure medicine. So if anybody takes anything away from this podcast, do not skip medicine that saves your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you were hemorrhaging, correct?
Yeah. And they said, like I said, to ask the doctor, had I not woken up from that nap, I would have never woken up. I would have hemorrhaged out. Yeah. So when I say a stroke of luck, thank God John was there and he saw that, oh my God, mom's struggling. Mm. He knew.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you spent 5 days in the ICU.
Five days at Forbes. Right.
Right. And then after that, you had a month of inpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapy.
Right. At Jefferson. They sent me back to Jefferson.
How are you doing now? You sound great. Are you healthy 100% or?
I am definitely not 100%. I am still struggling with my left side. I was left-handed and my left side is compromised is the best way I can say. I can use it, but I'm not as strong as I used to be. I have a lot of strength, but I don't have coordination.
Okay.
So I can't write with my left hand anymore. No, but I've always been able to write with both hands because my mom never wanted me to be left-handed. So that's what allowed me to go back.
Thanks, Mom.
I returned to teaching part-time last year, and this year I'm full-time. And I mean, I'm tired at the end of the day, just like everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been able to return to running, or is your left leg not up for that?
I actually can run. I don't want to run. I don't want to run anymore. You know what? I feel like my running days, I literally have run every race in Pittsburgh that I've ever wanted to run. Like I've done the 10 miler. I love that race. Done the marathon. I've done the half. I've done the kids. I've done the 5K. I've done the Brentwood run. Like I feel like I've done every race I ever want to do. So I'm okay not running anymore. I want to get back to working out.
Okay. Okay. Well, and you said you've been a runner for like 45 years.
I mean, yes.
not insignificant. My gosh. Yeah. My gosh. So you say you want to get back to working out. Have you been able to find a routine yet? Or is that still a little bit too much of a push?
Well, ironically, today I'm going to Cool Springs to their sports performance area to get an eval because I feel like that's where I need to be. I'm a little bit further than just regular PT, but I'm not I've gone back to Spencer Family Y where I worked out before and I had to make so many accommodations that I felt like maybe I'm not quite ready for this. Mm, like I have to exercise near a wall because sometimes my balance is off. So I feel like maybe I'm not ready to go back to the actual classes. I need a little bit more guidance with exercises. Everything has to be modified.
Right.
And I know that. I'm okay with that.
That's good. Yeah. That's good perspective to have. So Rose, when you look back to that day in 2022, how lucky do you feel about everything that happened the way it did?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, yeah, the way that everything played out, I want to say it was also divine intervention because had I not woken up, they have told me that you would not have woken up. I mean, it's a scary thing to think about.
Yeah.
And you woke up because you heard voices and you thought.
I heard talking downstairs. Mm-hmm. I thought we had company.
So if it was just your husband, you know, puttering around the house, you probably would have stayed in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I don't think when John said, Dad, mom's having a stroke, my husband said, well, let me take a shower first. John's like, Dad, you can't take a shower. Sorry. No, mom needs to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Right. And I'm telling you, you know what? I've come such a long way that I can even talk about it because honestly, when it first happened, I couldn't even talk about it without crying. Mm-hmm. I'd cry all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So Rose, your story as it rolled out is incredibly unique, but unfortunately the rate of strokes among women is not that rare. In the United States, almost 800,000 people have a stroke annually and about 55,000 of them are women more than men, if that makes sense. So more women than men have strokes and about 57% of stroke deaths occur in women. So obviously, Rose, you know this, but you are definitely super lucky. So is there anything you want to share about stroke awareness in general? You talked about taking your meds. Anything else that you know, you've learned along the way as far as signs or things that you tell your girlfriends to be aware of?
Well, one of the things that physical therapists at the hospital said to me, they said, we never had anybody as strong as you. And they said, the reason you're having a good recovery is because you were in good shape beforehand. So that has a lot to do with, you know, like I've said to people, like, get yourself in shape, because if something catastrophic happens to you, the way that you recover is dependent upon your previous strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm very determined to get my life back. It may not be 100%, but I am not happy with where I am right now. You know, when you look at me, you'd never know that I had a stroke. I don't limp, or I don't have like spasticity in my left arm, but I am not happy with where I am because I can't do the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going today. I'm left with weird symptoms. Like my left side is tingly. My left elbow is stiff. My left knee is stiff. And then I have a big toe that won't go down. It's called hitchhiker toe. It's the craziest
thing. I'm not laughing at shit show. I'm laughing at the name of it, but that's awesome.
It's crazy. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And so we had a wellness day at Bethel Park, and I stopped at every PT table and said, have you ever heard of a hitchhiker toe? Like asking anybody and everybody. So I found a physical therapist that I'm going to go to today who's going to work on my toe.
it just sticks up.
Just sticks up all the time. So.
Oh my goodness. And it's your big toe that does
my big toe.
So did you have to change shoe sizes because of that? Or
I can only wear certain shoes that actually push my toe down. Mm. But to walk barefoot is no fun because when you don't have your big toe, you don't have balance. Mm-hmm.
Just
stupid things.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can get that worked on. And it sounds like you have like a good path forward and just trying to find where you can go with physical activity.
Well, and last year when I returned to Bethel Park part-time, and I teach math support K-4, that's what I teach at Lincoln Elementary. When I went back part-time, the other half of my day, my oldest son is a strength and conditioning guy. So I had a personal trainer here at home, and he would work me out before I went to school. So even though I was still having physical therapy, he did some other things that were more along strength and conditioning. You know, not just turning your ankle or doing something real repetitive. He had me doing like some real, like with my body weight, strength and conditioning. He is a strength and conditioning coach at Randolph Air Force Base. He trains the fighter pilots. John is in North Carolina, but he would call me and he would ask me different things about Mom. What'd you do today? And what did you eat today? Make sure you're eating a lot of protein. Make sure you're doing this. Make sure you're doing that. He gives me exercises for my stiff knee. So, I mean, I got two people really looking out for me, and I can't say enough about my retired husband who took such good care of me. Oh, and he has stepped up and like taken over all household duties. He cleans, he does everything. He does the laundry. He's such a good guy.
Oh, it sounds like you have such a supportive family.
I do. I really do.
Great.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Rose. You are very lucky with your sons in the absolutely right professions for where you need them to be. I love that you're back at work and that you can hear it in your voice that you are a determined woman, and you are going to definitely, I can tell you are going to keep going forward no matter what it takes. And that is impressive. And we wish you the best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. It was a joy to be on with you.
Thanks, Rose.
Awesome. Okay, so Rose's story is kind of hard to top, but we do have three quick stories of luck from listeners. So Sarah and I are going to share those. So Sarah's up first with a story from Jennifer Red Kribliski.
All right, so this is what Red submitted. She said, years ago, a friend and I went to a 50-mile bicycle race in Eagle Pass, Texas. We were the only women in the race. My friend had a flat tire and stopped to change it. She told me to keep going, that she would catch up to me. There was a split in the road and there was nothing, no signs to say which way I should go. So I went right. And then my friend in the near distance behind me went the same way. She eventually did catch up to me. After a while, we realized we probably were going the wrong way because we hadn't seen any other bikers or an aid station. It was also over 100 degrees and we were running low on water. We then saw a man on the road who had fallen and was hurt. We left him some of the little water we had and told him we would go back and send someone to help him. On the way back, a truck pulled up and asked, and the man driving asked if we wanted to lift back. This man had seen my friend fixing her flat tire, and when he didn't see her cross the finish line of the race, he came looking for her. We told him about the hurt man, and he went to get him as we tried to make it back on our own. After he got the guy to safety, he came back for us, and it was a good thing because we were out of water and my friend was wobbling on her bike. The man ended up driving us back. if he had not seen her, well, first of all, if she had not gotten the flat tire, then he wouldn't have seen her, and then he wouldn't have looked for her. If I hadn't taken the wrong path and followed the guy that got hurt, he may have died out there. It was 20 miles from town, and he didn't have water, and he couldn't walk, and it was over 100 degrees. So, yes, a lot of series of events that led to good things in the end.
Yeah. I mean, wow, that's kind of a combo of your story, Sarah, with a flat tire, and Rose with a near-death experience.
I know. Seriously, like, those darn flat tires. But yeah. Wow, Red, that was something that's a good story to keep in the in the file.
Absolutely. Well, here's one that's a little bit more uplifting from Stacy Johnson. So in June 2011, Stacy entered a duathlon in an area she didn't know at all. Throughout the race, she jockeyed back and forth on the bike with two other ladies. And they wound up finishing all within 20 seconds of each other. After they finished, they formally introduced themselves and they got around to talking and realized that one of the women's brothers went to a small boarding school with my two younger brothers, with Stacy's two younger brothers. And all three of them were training for a fall marathon. One thing led to another, and we started meeting up for long runs. At that point, Stacy did not have any training partners, and they were exactly the pace that she needed, which, as we know, it makes a huge difference. So throughout the years, they've done lots of races together and become great friends. I like to think that a chance meeting at a race created the best support network I could ever have found.
I love that. I love just thinking about ways that you meet your friends and or your significant other. That my favorite movie from the 90s, Sliding Doors. And I always think about sliding doors moments, you know? And this is like a sliding doors moment. Like, what if Stacy didn't go to the race? What if Stacy didn't talk to those women after?
People at the end. Yeah. I know. I used to, back when I was competing more seriously, I would like kind of look at who was finished around me and see if they were ever near me. And I had these fantasies of like, emailing them DMing wasn't a thing back then, you know, and being like, oh, if you ever want to go on a bike ride. I never did, but I always like played those out in my head. So maybe there's still time for that. I don't know.
You never know. You never know where you're going to meet your next best friend, right? So
yeah, exactly.
All right. So here's one more from Stephanie Creedon, who says, I ran my first Boston Marathon in 2003. And my family jokes, I ran marathons before it was cool. Well, yeah, that was 21 years ago. So go, Stephanie. Morning of the race, I woke up with a stiff neck and could not move my neck left to right. I figured once I warmed up, I'd eventually be able to look around. At the start, it was packed wall-to-wall people. I don't believe runners were released in waves back then as it is now. So for the first 2 miles, it was shoulder-to-shoulder runners, and I ran with my arms at my chin. That's a good description. So you can see her running there with her arms at her chin. It was crazy and scary, and I feared I would be trampled if I fell. Around mile two, someone clipped the back of my heel, and I felt myself starting to fall forward. I felt hands around my waist lifting me up, saying, well, that was almost a disaster. I was so shocked, I was convinced I was going to faceplant, be trampled, and my race would be over. I tried to turn around to see who lifted me up, but my neck was so stiff, I couldn't see who this person was. I was able to finish in 3:34 and qualify again. To this day, I'm so grateful for this running angel who saved me from faceplanting and being trampled by other runners. So yeah, she had a little guardian angel in her race too. I love it.
She did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, I love the description that she can't turn around to say,
right,
oh, thank you. You know, like obviously then you know how much pain she was in. So good thing like running is a back and forth motion and you don't really have to turn your head side to side so much.
Yes, I know. And I'm sure she would love to go around and thank that person. I have a similar story too, that I was in the Cherry Blossom 10 miler a couple of years ago and I had new Gooders and I put them on the top of my head because it wasn't that sunny out. And of course, when you run with Gooders on the top of your head, sometimes they fly off. And so mine flew off and I was like, gosh, darn it. Those are brand new sunglasses. And next thing I know, I get this tap, tap, tap on my shoulder. And this nice man was like, ma'am, I don't know if they always call me ma'am, but you know, he said, you're in my head. They always
you
call
have
me,
a lot of men calling you ma'am in races.
He said, you dropped your sunglasses. And I was and like, Stephanie, I wasn't going to turn around because there's thousands of people in that race. And I was like, if I stop, I'll get trampled. But he did pick them up for me and found me and gave me my sunglasses, which by the way were scratched, but still it was such a nice gesture and I couldn't believe like how kind, like some people just can be, go out of their way to be kind in races and in life in general. But that was lucky and just like kindness of strangers, just like Stephanie's was.
love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, that was great. It was really fun to hear of those stories of luck. And if you have any more you want to add, just, tag us on Facebook mm-hmm. or I was going to say drop, tag us on Twitter, but I don't think many of go on Twitter anymore. That is X. Unlucky.
It's not even called Twitter. It's called X now.
I know. I'm afraid to call it X. I don't like calling it X. I'm it's OG Twitter. Yeah. Okay, friends, I want to tell you about Go the Distance in case you're looking for a little challenge in April. On April 20th and 21st, we're doing our first virtual endurance event that is geared exactly to where you are right now. You get to be the boss of how you go the distance. So you pick the activity, you pick the distance, and you pick the time. So the activities could be running, obviously, a walking, a run-walk combo. It could be a hike. I'm going to ride my bike. We're going to have some Peloton classes lined up. So if you want to do it indoors, you can also be just on a treadmill or an indoor bike, rowing machine, you name it, rollerblade, whatever you want to do. You can pick your distance. It can be in miles. It can be in minutes. And the time is either going to be 6, 12, or 24 hours. But you're not going to be running for 6, 12, or 24 hours. What you're going to do is you're going to start at the top of every hour. So an example might be you're going to walk a mile for 6 hours. So that'll have you going 6 miles total. Or you could run 2 miles over 12 hours to get you to 24 miles. You could do a Peloton 30-minute class for 12 hours. On the hour and end up with 6 hours of activity. So we'll explain it a lot more clearly, but hopefully that makes sense. Early bird registration for this Go the Distance is going to open on Tuesday, March 19th. And we're all going to go the distance as an AMR community. It's going to be a huge community event on social media. We're going to have a Zoom room open for probably 24 mm-hmm. hours. We're going to see how that shakes out. But the event is mostly on April 20th, which is a Saturday, and it might go into Sunday, April 21st, if you're going for 24 hours.
Super fun.
So can't wait to have this come to life. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it.
Yes, it's such a brilliant idea. I can't wait to participate. And yeah, I think it sounds a little daunting, but when you break it down like you did, it's like, oh, I can do that. You just have to dedicate your day or part of your day to physical activity and to yourself. It's self-care. So that's the way to look at it. And challenging yourself to something just going a little longer than you've gone before. Like that's such a great challenge without it being an overwhelming, life-changing event.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, our podcast today was produced by Barry Medore of Fire on the Bluff in St. Paul, Minnesota, home of many lucky people, I'm sure.